Hello, and welcome to the 70% Complete podcast. Today's episode is about Darmok, a Star Trek The Next Generation episode. This is a episode that we recorded in person together while we watched Darmok. So hang out. You might hear some Picard in the background, but that's fine. And then after that, we'll have a bit of a wrap-up conversation. So hang out while I experience my first Star Trek episode ever. This is a good one.
There we go.
We're recording.
We have waveforms. It's working.
Yeah. Look at that. We did a thing.
Yeah, we did it. We watched a Star Trek.
We watched Star Trek. How was your first ever Star Trek?
Okay. I am real glad that we were able to like work through a mission statement the other day, essentially, because that will make my
where this goes
insistence on this make a little bit more sense.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
At a bare minimum, you'll know why I
did. Yeah, it'll make sense.
Yeah, it'll make sense in a hurry.
Okay.
Oh, darn.
I love episodic television.
Yeah, we're at a good...
Yeah.
So here's our cold open.
Yeah.
This is one of the earliest appearances of that uniform for Picard.
I was going to say, that jacket is sick.
It's fucking great. I want to make one. Yeah, Picard's action jacket is...
It's so is good.
Red as hell.
Yep.
Yep. It still looks enough like a uniform, but that like crushed velvet thing going on, though, is... Yeah.
Must have been a pain in the ass in production to like make sure that thing is fluffed the correct way.
I can't imagine. Yeah. And like definitely there are things here in the Blu-ray version that are not visual broadcast.
Sure.
Like skin texture doesn't exist in my memory of this show the way it does now. But yeah.
Nice.
So this was fully comped, so this shot's been entirely replaced.
Okay.
So this series franchise employs a universal translator.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was gonna ask, is that they have the babblefish,
yes.
Right?
Like, yeah, so normally they'll roll up on someone new, turn on the screens, and have a conversation with each other.
Okay, and this is remarkable that it is not happening now.
Correct.
I see. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, this is maybe the only time that it doesn't work.
Okay.
That I can think of, at least.
Okay.
So, that means it's not common anyway.
Yeah.
Which is why we're getting these fucking looks. Jacket's so cool.
Yeah, it's a good jacket.
It's like, I'll say it slower.
Yep. But it is actual language. Like, there are English words coming through.
Yes.
Crosswords
so it feels,
and
so
winter.
Seems like it's working.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah. This guy kicks ass, too.
Knife fight.
Time to knife fight.
We are 3 minutes into this episode now?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah, stuff has happened.
We get the briefing, we get the setup, and then immediately onto the planet, knife fight time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this one moves...
Efficient.
This one moves quick. I'm trying to think of... Like, I'm not even sure what I haven't told you, because...
You've told me nothing.
I'm so steeped in this. Do you know which one is the android?
Oh, like Data?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. There's like cultural osmosis stuff that I've picked up.
Okay.
Like, I know that Worf is a Klingon.
Yep. Nailed that. He was
and
in the
they're
talk at the beginning there.
Yeah. And they're like a combat tribe of people, right? Like, they do Batleth battles.
They like doing
for
battles.
Honor.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Close enough. Yep.
I think the other stuff I know about this show specifically is that Picard wasn't the original captain. Was, what's his face? Beard Man?
I'm not really sure where you're going with this at all.
Picard's
in every episode.
I thought Rikert, that's his name. It wasn't Rikert,
Riker.
Was he Riker? Was he always? Damn. Shit.
Yep.
Was he not the captain?
No.
No. So Picard has always been the captain.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, sometimes the party gets split.
Sure.
And he needs Riker to be... will take command. You were perhaps maybe alluding to the fact that Riker starts with his whole baby face ass.
Yeah, he definitely didn't have a beard in the beginning, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He looks like a very different person. Okay. And Riker growing the beard in between.
Is that a character arc?
Three. Not officially, but it also tends to coincide with the show getting noticeably better as a baseline.
Interesting.
So you will occasionally hear people use growing the beard as like an oppositional statement to jumping the shark.
That's really funny. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What else do I know about the show? I don't actually know if this is in the show, if it's in a movie, but there's like a Borg version of Picard, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of holodeck nonsense that involves Sherlock Holmes at some point.
Yep.
There's a really good
watch that one.
Okay. There's a really good episode called Measure of a Man.
Yep. We'll definitely watch that one.
And Earl Grey hot.
Tea. Earl Grey hot.
I think that's about all I know about Next Gen.
Okay. The characters we saw talking, are you able to place them in a hierarchy?
Picard is my knowledge of Star Trek mostly comes from the Abrams movies. So, and even now those colors are inverted here. But Picard is captain.
Yep.
Riker is probably first mate, like first his second. Yep. And then I don't know what Data does, if they are computer man or if they drive the ship.
They bounce Data around. He's typically one notch below Riker.
Okay.
Depending on if Riker and Picard are both gone, Data's
in charge. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Worf, I'm just assuming, is like battle stations guy.
Yeah. At this point, yes. He moves around a little bit. That's not where he starts the series, but where we are at in season 5, that is.
Okay.
Yeah, he is at tactical, which is weapons control, and he's also the chief security officer.
Okay. Okay. And then the other woman, I don't recognize her at all or her uniform, but I think they referred to her as counselor.
Correct.
So is she a political figure?
No. She is.
She's a lawyer?
No.
She's a
This is the squishy
psychologist?
90s. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, she is the ship's brain
actual
doctor,
counselor.
There
That's
are
cool.
Episodes that will revolve around that. Boy, I wish she had a uniform the whole time. That'd be cool. She eventually gets a standard uniform.
Okay.
She serves dual roles early on as both ship's counselor and pretty lady.
Yeah. Okay.
Her primary job aboard.
That checks out.
Filming. Portion at least.
And what is her name?
Deanna Troi.
Troi, yes, okay.
T-R-O-I. So okay. She is half human, half Beta Zed.
Oh, right. I forgot that most of these people are aliens.
She's the only one on the bridge crew, her and Worf.
Yeah, sure.
That species is telepathic,
mm-hmm.
since she is half. She is empathic, so she can sense emotions.
Interesting.
But not actual thoughts.
Okay.
The like mechanical logic on that is at the whims of the episode.
The
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes that works from across the room. Sometimes that works from orbit. Sometimes.
Oh.
Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't do one of those two things for a reason or not a reason.
Sure.
I don't know. It's a little squishy.
Sure. That's fine.
And her and Riker used to be a thing.
Oh,
before
okay.
the series started.
Okay.
And part of the show is sort of uncovering that. Or everyone knows that. It's clear that they were like engaged is kind of the vibe you get
okay.
watching. I'm just gonna try to give you like what you would know at the end of like season one-ish,
sure.
give
sure.
or take.
Sure, sure.
I don't wanna spoil stuff we'll get to. It feels like they were probably engaged and then they were not for a long time, like probably
okay.
a decade or more. And now they're both serving on this
show. Oh, okay. So they were not an item recently and then things went bad. It was just there was history and now they're together somehow. Correct. Okay.
Correct. And you sort of get the vibes that maybe it was like Riker had to choose between career and family
job and
kind
lady.
Of thing.
Yeah.
But they do a good job of not just giving you all of the bullet points.
Yeah. That's good.
Like the things that don't need to be stated aren't typically
okay.
in a way that I appreciate.
Is the only other Star Trek name that I really know, like besides like the obvious ones, like Geordi.
Geordi. Yeah, he'll be down in engineering.
Okay. What about is Seven of Nine in this show?
She's not. She is in Voyager.
Voyager. Okay. She's a Borg doctor or something?
So I've not watched much Voyager, but she was a Borg that they de-Borgified to like...
She did not assimilate.
As far as they unassimilated her.
Yep. Okay.
And now she's on the ship. That is my memory, but
okay.
Boy, I haven't watched a single episode of Voyager since I was like 14.
Okay.
So I might be wrong. The only other like main recurring like command officer character will be... the chief medical officer, who at this point is Dr. Crusher.
Beverly Crusher. Yep.
And her and Picard seem to have a weird history. I'm not sure what all you know about that.
Almost nothing. I feel like she was also Pretty Lady on Deck.
There's definitely some of that vibe. Fortunately, they still do a bad job with the women characters, but they do a better job than you would expect, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
In its place and time, they do a good job.
Okay.
They don't do as good a job as I would like, but there are positive things you can point to about some of the depictions, which I feel like is more than we
normally get. Yeah.
And still do occasionally. So. Yeah. You know, there's that.
Okay.
Picard and Beverly were in like the same friend group in college.
Ah, okay.
And like haven't really hung out since for a while. And I'm not sure if you're gonna know why by this point or not, so I'm just gonna let that
be. That's fine.
Yeah. So there's some weird like weird tension
there. Sure. Okay.
But clearly also in the past.
Yeah.
Four minutes. 4 minutes. We've been 4.5.
Jesus.
Okay. We are on the planet.
Let's do it. The disc has been ejected. There it goes. Done. There is no disc drive.
It'll find it. That's never happened. I swear this has never happened. Funny.
It was like there long enough to...
I'm wondering if it was
to play. Something
important went to sleep. Didn't want to wake up.
That the Blu-ray drive.
It has a sense of both comedy and timing.
Yeah, and sass.
Yeah,
it's giving us some shit.
Yeah, that thing will give you lip all day. Yeah, see, it's fine.
Yeah, it's great. Loading Blu-ray disc. God, this is probably a good time to bring up how we were attempting to do this on the big old Cisco machine. And it took us, 2 hours to find out that we couldn't do it?
Yeah. For like unforeseeable reasons.
Oh my God. Digital rights management, my guys. Try to do it right. Just don't do it. Put the disc in there. You run it on the Blu-ray, the official Blu-ray, and the television says, fuck you, actually. You cannot do that.
You have the wrong type of TV to play this Blu-ray disc you own.
Yeah, son of
a bitch. We could
do
it. We're just not fucking gonna.
Yeah. HDCP my ass.
It's okay. I have plans.
I will say that it is sad that the Cisco machine did not work. It was nice that we got it to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
And got to see yep, saw myself on the webcam. That
it
was
works.
Great.
You can watch YouTube on it all day.
Yep.
Well, I've watched a fair bit of YouTube on it.
That's real pain in the ass.
But it will not play a Blu-ray, though.
No, it won't play a Blu-ray, which is real bad. But I will say, three to six mostly empty banker's boxes holding up an Insignia TV is equally as ramshackle as that Cisco machine would have been.
Yeah.
So it's equally bad in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Which I am happy about.
Different weird vibes.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like this one's more familiar, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is LAN party vibes.
Yeah, this is, holy shit, we just moved in and we need to watch this Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's true.
We do need to watch the Star Trek.
It's cool how it also didn't let me resume the disc. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It just was like, nah.
Yep.
I've never met this man before in my life.
Seems play and restart are the same.
Every other time it let us restart. I think it just died apart.
Yeah.
Good news, we weren't very far in.
So. Only 4 minutes and 41 seconds in.
This disc is fucking thick with plot episodes. Holy shit.
I believe you.
Season 5, disc 2.
That's where it's at. That's where all the good stuff is.
Wow. Those are... Usually they toss a light, fluffy episode in there every once in a while, but...
What?
Who knows? Oh, this is after that scene.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
this is coming back from.
Oh, of course. Right, it's a television show.
Yeah, we're still in the opening. There's our guy.
What's up? Check out my knife.
I brought one for you too. There we go.
Nice.
Now we cut to.
Yes.
I feel like we have to let this play. You've not.
No. Is this called the eye catch? Is that the anime term? Is that just the mid break?
I
think that's what it's called. I only think of it in like original Gundam. I think it's when you like see the profile of the character and it does the eye flash.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called the eye catch. This doesn't look that bad. I'm sure if I saw it with the actual models.
This has definitely been touched.
It's definitely been touched. Like, I'll give you that. But
it's
like,
definitely been retouched a lot, yeah.
It doesn't read as awful.
No, it doesn't. And I don't think it reads as so disconnected from what they shot that it sticks out horribly either.
Yeah.
Which I think was a risk.
Yeah.
Like, if this looked too good and then you cut back to... TV shot in 1988.
Yeah.
That might be a bit disjointed.
Yeah. Like this thing shoots at the screen. It has a little bit of a wobble still. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's good 3D star fields.
On some
like little
these...
green screen insets in the command bit there. That is the bridge, right? Up on top of the disc? Or is it in the front of the disc?
It is on top. The front is a bar.
Cool.
That's where Whoopi Goldberg hangs out.
Cool. I forgot that Whoopi Goldberg was in this.
And Cole Meany, who I love.
I don't know if I know who Cole Meany is.
You might recognize Cole Meany. We'll see. Okay, I'm going to stop this already.
Mm-hmm.
I love how different this feels to me than a lot of other things we see, because we have the guy in charge. Who's now Riker, since Picard just got beamed off, and like things are going bad, and instead of this guy just being a badass and doing all the things, the first thing he does is like,
he asks
fuck,
people,
smart people, tell me about the thing you know about.
Yep.
And I'm gonna gather all the information, and then we're all gonna figure out what the hell to do from here. I don't know, it's just like a dynamic that I feel like I didn't see a lot of growing up in media.
Yeah. I think this episode and like future episodes that we do about Star Trek is going to get me to make you watch more Battlestar Galactica 2.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very much the same thing where it's like, you have like, it feels like there's a lot of shows that are just made in the mold of 24, where you're just going to Jack Bauer your way through whatever is going on by being a badass. And like, that's fine, I guess, like that builds Jack Bauer's character, but like you don't even see this stuff in like CSI or like NCIS, like major mainstream television is not doing this stuff anymore. Because like you would have like, oh, you're the person who deals with dead bodies. You're the person who looks at bullet patterns, but it's just like, please give me information. I will then tell you what that means. Yeah. And this is it. Yeah. It's interesting that they are like referring to one another, especially when it is people of very different cultures.
Yep.
Where like you talk to the man who is from a warrior culture and say, this dude just got beamed off with two knives. Like, what's going on here? And they like make assessments based on that. It's yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. And well, there's a different episode we'll get to eventually where they do some officer exchange programs with other species.
Fun. Okay.
So you get to see like, oh, what if like the concept of a command structure was different than how we normally use it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So like there's one where like here, if something goes bad and you're the guy on the sensors, you're expected to turn around and go, hey, everybody, thing just went bad.
Yeah.
And then those people figure out what to do.
What to do. Yeah.
This guy from a different planet, from a different species, their whole method was cool. Sensor guy, so a thing went bad. You collect all the information and mm-hmm. you come to me when you have an array of solutions for me to choose from.
Yeah.
You do the legwork by yourself.
It's very
I don't want to hear about this problem until I'm picking from one of four options.
Yep. Yeah.
And just like that conflict of those two things intersecting is a whole episode. It's actually a couple episodes. Now that I think
that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I also see immediately why this resonates with what I think your taste is. There's a lot of like the room is very well lit here, uh-huh. but this is immediately Hunt for Red October.
Yes. Yeah.
Just like this whole setup of I am a strong, powerful man, but also I do need to know what everyone thinks and how to yep. like deal with all of this data.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of Red October crossover. I think and also in my mind, Hunt for Red October and Star Trek TNG are both like peak 90s dad properties.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I assume we will notice more
yeah.
similarities as we go.
This isn't gonna be a like a Mad Gabs thing, is it? Where if you say Darmok really fast or backwards, no. it means something? Cool. Just really feel like he failed a cultural exchange there.
Shaka. Our alien guy here is doing a lot of face acting for someone with a bunch of heavy prosthesis.
Like a lot.
It's working pretty well for how much stuff they got glued to that man.
Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, so there, we get a chance to fight, and we just fucking don't.
We just don't.
He's
yeah.
just like, oh, I don't, that's not, it's not my deal.
Yeah, like the alternate version of this is they do a fight, and then Picard like disables him somehow and says, now we're going to solve this together.
Yeah, the alternate version of this is Arena, a Star Trek original series episode where he fights that big rubber lizard monster yeah. by making an artificial gun. Have you seen
that? I don't think I've seen this one, no.
Oh, Kirk, like, I want to say they're like scanning the planet and he's in communication with Spock and they find out there's like sulfur and a couple other chemicals laying around and he finds like a giant piece of bamboo or something that's a tube and he's hand mixing gunpowder and blunderbusses this lizard man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, prime directive.
Yep. We that's why this is the one I was like, maybe we'll watch that one too, because it's in direct dialogue with this episode.
Interesting.
Like that one, yeah, he makeshifts a blunderbuss and kills the lizard man. And this one, the first thing Picard does is just like, I'm not going to knife fight with
you. I'm not going to knife fight.
And to be clear, you don't know this yet. But that's not because Picard is unaccustomed to knife fighting.
Sure.
The man yeah. has done a lot of knife fighting. Yeah.
I feel like this is the funny part of Star Trek is that like it's the whole thing is that like communist utopia, everything's going great back on Earth, and now we're like cultural exchange out into the world on a peaceful adventure. But there is almost always conflict and like danger and fighting in most of these, right? Like it's not that he's got to do a knife happens. Fight yeah. and he's got to shoot phasers and
that happens
sometimes. Proton torpedoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is an episode where Picard might have a cross.
All right. That's not this one, though.
It's not this one.
No. Well, interesting. I'm curious. Like, there's a lot of stuff about Star Trek that is like we are trying to do this peacefully, and so far mm-hmm. there is no I guess you could perceive beaming him down to do a knife fight, but it is now nighttime now. Like, there's clearly no violence that has occurred yet, because they have good enough sensors to know that they're within 20 meters of one another or something.
Yep. I can check life signs from there.
Yeah. So it's interesting that Riker is like pushing that. Like, it feels like this is we obviously can't communicate very well or at all. And maybe we should just let this play out and kind of see what happens. But it seems like they are willing to push this one, which is interesting.
Riker's not a big fan of you stealing his captain.
I see. Okay.
That's a trigger point.
That's for Riker. that's a thing we should know.
Yeah. That's okay. Not like a stated duty, but it is a character trait that becomes clear.
Okay. He likes this Picard guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and he doesn't mind being in charge, but if you kidnap him,
fair.
He gets big mad about that.
Okay, I mean, I do want to point out that it does seem like you shouldn't be able to just beam someone off of a ship. Like, it feels like they should have had a countermeasure to that immediately.
The countermeasure to that is having your shields activate and off. But many cultures also read that as aggressive.
Preparing for battles. Yeah. I see. Okay.
So that's kind of your push and pull. And that was when they beam Picard off, they throw the shields up right away.
Yep.
But by at that point, the guy's already gone.
Yeah, dematerialized. And, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Sure seems like it would have been nice to have a knife.
Yeah. Look at our Starfleet captain starting a fire by hand. Also.
Well, Boy Scout.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Aw. No. Well, he tried. I think he just wants to have a camp hangout. I made this cool fire. It was your job to bring the s'mores. Taking his pins off. There's not a lot of hand gestures that are happening here that I feel like would have been really helpful to communicating.
Yeah, probably.
But also, I guess, cultural exchange. Picard like said his name and then swung his arms wide open as if he was pointing to the sky.
His arms wide.
Yeah, I guess, but he could have also just pointed at himself.
He's had a stressful day.
He has. Of avoiding knife fights. It's just very slow television.
Yeah.
Which is nice, the but show unexpected.
Yeah. I'm just gonna sleep with this knife a little
just
bit.
In case.
You know. It's my cuddle knife.
Is there like a on-staff anthropologist or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They're in an episode.
It just feels like you should have someone who understands culture and like how cultures happen.
It's kind of split between Troy and Data.
Okay. Since yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Data has access to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is just the volume, because there's like, it's a lot of space out there.
Yeah, that's fair.
It wasn't filmed this dark, but I'm not talking with anything.
No, it's fine.
this is definitely a dark scene, but
this is also as dark as most modern television is. Yeah. All the better to see you and knife fight you to death.
Can track you far more easily, but we shared his little fire now.
Okay.
We do a lot of AB plot stuff.
Yep.
In this show. I don't know who this lady is. Which means she's probably not going to be a great actor.
Yeah, that's fair.
Their extras are real hit or miss. Most of them are fine, I guess. There's like two of them that are not, though. Look at that stance out of Riker.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
Like, is there just a footstool level thing for him to put his leg on everywhere?
I think that's
just hovering.
That's just an ability he has. That's on his character sheet. That's really sure.
Powerful stance. Uh-oh. Seems intentional.
Sure does. That's also not an easy thing to do in this universe.
Okay. Nice shooting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like sometimes.
Sometimes it goes wrong.
Yeah. Sometimes, hey, shoot their engines, goes bad and they blow up.
It's also like a dramatic talking, but Worf just immediately backed down. He's just like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like if that is how you will do this, then that is fine. I trust you.
Yeah. They adhere to their command structure. And that becomes
plot points as well of like, how do you maintain that working relationship in a rigid hierarchy while also maintaining a friendship outside of that?
Yeah. What could it mean?
Like, there are multiple points in the series where someone will apologize to another character because they feel they have acted improperly in one of those roles, jeopardizing the other.
Interesting.
Yeah. Read his diary.
It's a good-looking tablet. I do like the idea to look at this thing that is possibly for written or digital communication when you know that you cannot speak to the person.
Yeah.
What are you going to find? Wait, she has a new uniform?
Yeah, she cycles through a couple.
Okay. That's not a uniform. There, what?
<yep. laughs> This is, it's one of the more chaste ones.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Just really seems like they framed her there for a reason.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, I feel like we gotta look at that.
That's some good looking language. What is that? Looks cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
I've not freeze framed this before. It's like closer to a circuit diagram than than the way we do written language.
That's like no directionality to it either.
Not that we can discern,
yeah.
At least. That must be a really cool brief to get as an artist too. It's like, oh no, I need you to do a language for me, a written language.
That will appear on screen for less than 3 seconds.
Yeah, but I need it to make sense, but it also needs to be entirely incomprehensible.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks
coherent.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I don't think I like this uniform top as much without the jacket on.
No. I don't think they've had time to tailor it yet either. This might be the first episode it appears in.
Okay.
This might be the only time we see it by itself, too, actually. The jacket makes a comeback.
Okay.
But I don't know if it... I think it's always the two-piece together. He's usually not a dick to people, either.
Okay.
So, like, this is a very good indication that, Riker is he's very stressed out.
Yeah.
Okay. He's usually, like... He's here to get a job done.
But yeah.
He's going to make sure everyone has a good time while we're doing it.
Yeah.
Is normally his vibe. He's like, you're you're a really good high school teacher.
Or yeah.
You feel like a okay. class, but you actually learned a whole shitload.
Sure.
He's got that kind of vibe normally.
Okay. So yelling at Geordi is not normal MO?
No. Super out of order. Also, Geordi's about to address an ensign, and we'll see if you recognize this lady or not. This is one of her first appearances on screen, I think, as a human.
Like ever?
Yeah.
It's really not showing her face, huh?
Yeah, I didn't know that was going to happen. She's in two episodes, I think, and then becomes
a real person?
Yeah, if this is who I think it is.
Okay. Also, is Will Wheaton still running around right now?
On and off.
Okay. Oh, I forgot about this guy.
Cole Meany.
Yeah, okay.
This is Cole Meany.
Yep.
He's definitely that guy.
Yep. Okay, so he did yell at him and say, actually, 3 hours, not going to work. And then they're like, okay, we'll do it now, I guess.
If you don't check if things work before you try to do it to a guy, you can save a lot of time.
That's true. It's true.
Uh-oh. Reverse grip.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, that's why this shirt didn't get tailored. They cut it up right away.
It's a really good-looking alien.
This dude is just tanking hits, too.
Yeah. Just feels like it's still a test.
Like how the first officer on that other ship doesn't fuck around.
Yeah, he's like real pissed all the time.
Yep. All gas, no brakes, that guy.
Ooh, got chest slash.
Just when we make some progress.
Yeah.
The invisible triceratops shows up. The other ship looks real good, too.
Yeah, it does.
That's a good spaceship.
It's a good design. Can he see through that thing? Like, as an actor?
Almost nothing. Very little.
Wow.
Okay. Or not almost nothing, but it's heavily restricted.
Okay.
And he communicates so much without having access to his eyes, which
yeah, it's
like...
wild. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So they basically explained how the language works.
Yeah.
And that it is shared, like a shared cultural reference.
Yep.
Like, it is referential to, like, their mythos. That's cool.
Yeah. And like, which is why the Universal Translator is working. They're getting
words. Yeah, they're getting the English. Yeah. but you don't know the cultural touchstone, so you don't know what it means.
Yeah, because their conception of language is foundationally so different than ours that the translator doesn't translate.
It doesn't translate the meaning behind the words. It simply translates the words, right, like a machine translates.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I'm actually kind of surprised. I mean, that is a genius idea that I imagine took a very long time to come to. It is really interesting that this show about aliens has not, like, got there before.
Yep.
Because that is, like, like, the Juliet on the balcony is, like, a perfect example of, like, how you would do that
immediately.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yep.
Huh.
And it's just a scene of people at a conference table.
Yeah, just talking.
That's like 25% of the show is people at a conference table.
It's I didn't imagine this to be so like, it's not really even like courtroom drama in that kind of way, but it feels very Law and Order of, like, here are the pieces of evidence that we have, and, like, this is, you know, what's happening in person. Mm-hmm. And now we need to put all the pieces together to solve this puzzle, which I guess is, like, what most procedural television is. But the reliance on it being, I'm sure that in the last 5 minutes of this, there's either going to be, they beam up, everyone's happy, or they have to storm the gates with phasers going. But I imagine the show doesn't do that very often, like you would expect from normal television these days.
Yeah, There are definitely a few Storm the Gates plot lines, but they are far between, and typically they serve a purpose as well.
Yeah, yeah.
A narrative purpose. It's not like, those are usually like impactful long-term, not just within the episode. They're typically not bottle episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a really cool...
Yeah.
It's a really cool premise.
Yeah. Yeah, I fucking love this show. This is a good show.
Ah, so he still doesn't get it. Yeah.
He's got the vibes, but he doesn't quite...
Yeah, he's like still translating.
Because he doesn't have any external confirmation. Like,
right.
Troy and Data had. Patrick Stewart's so good.
Yeah, he really is. But I am good at knife fighting.
He is. He didn't get an artificial heart by avoiding knife fights.
Can't just say that. He got in a knife fight and then got stabbed in the heart
by some Nausicaans. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for another episode, I guess.
Yeah.
That is like pinpoint precision on that transporter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reading books.
Yeah. He just hangs out in his room, reads a book.
Yeah.
One of the anthropologists on the ship is Picard.
It's Picard. That makes sense.
A ritual he saw them do for his, that's his cool friend. That was Ashley Judd.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
We did it.
Yeah, look at that.
You've now watched an episode of Star Trek.
That's crazy. That was a real good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's good. That one's real good. What do we want to do with this thing? Are we pause this?
Yeah, pause this.
Pause both.
Pause maybe? Both? There we go.
We're recording.
We have waveforms. It's working.
Yeah.
Look at that.
What the hell? We did a thing.
Yeah, we did it. We watched a Star Trek.
We watched Star Trek. How was your first ever Star Trek?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is a little bit cheating because you picked a really good one.
I did pick a good one.
But no, it was really good. I don't know what I expected the show to be, and I guess if you were to, like, really press me on it, I would say this is kind of what I had expected Next Gen to be, but also somehow was not what I had expected at all. Like, it was much, like, calmer and slower as a show that, like, and maybe this is just because the cultural osmosis of, like, original series and, like, my main touch point being the Abrams movies, which are action movies.
Yeah, those are like summer popcorn flicks.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is much more like TV procedural than I had expected. Like, this is like a police procedural to some degree, which is surprising to me.
Yeah, it is definitely a slower show most of the time. There's a lot of sitting in a room at a big table with a bunch of people and just like puzzling it out.
Yeah.
Just talking through it. seeing where you what you can come up with.
Yeah, and then like the cutaways of like Data and I already forgot her name.
Troy.
Troy. Just like talking to computer to like get data. Google. Like that's crazy.
They're just like, hey man, we're gonna do a couple Google searches here. We're gonna do some lateral research. We'll come back and let you know what we come up with.
Yeah, that's wild. No, I liked it. It was really good.
We watched Darmok, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I guess we didn't say that. Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned
we watched episode two, which I hear is a banger.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode two is fine. What is that? Naked Now? Naked Time? One of those.
No idea.
One of those is an original series episode. The other one's an next-gen episode. I think that's number two. Anyway.
Yeah.
We watched Darmok, season five, episode two.
Yeah.
One of the more known, you will see that quoted on the internet now, that you have a touchstone for it.
The like arms wide open and
you'll catch
some
of
when the walls fall down and stuff.
When the walls fell, you'll see occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess we have not really talked about like, what we wanted to do with this. Do we want to recap at all? Or just assume people have seen this? Feels like we should recap at least.
We should recap
a
little bit.
If you aren't familiar with Star Trek, it's a sci-fi show in space. It takes place in the far future. In this particular episode, we encounter another species at a planet and cannot communicate with them immediately. The universal translator appears to be functioning. We're getting English-sounding words out of them, but they are incomprehensible.
Yeah. And it seems that there has been a history of this happening with this group of people before. They kind of allude to that in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Starfleet has had multiple encounters with this species over the last 100 years or so, and all of them have come back question marks.
Yeah.
No one's been able to make any progress on communication. So our intrepid crew sets off to do that. I suppose we could probably just shortcut this a whole bunch and say eventually they figure it out and this other species speaks exclusively in metaphor.
Yeah, and like historic metaphor, like based on their like mythology, it seems, like shared cultural stories.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, and they do so in like short little quips. It almost feels like a fighting game moveset or something when they're arguing.
Yeah.
Like they're very much throwing back these little they're like doing little volleys of stories back and forth at each other.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's like the first touchstone I kind of thought about when it became kind of clear what was happening is like almost how in like modern culture we throw memes back and forth.
Yeah,
and like
very dramatic.
how we use that in like a way of like, I mean, I was doing this when you were joking with me about the show being only about RuneScape and I just sent the always has been meme.
Yeah.
And like
just the blank template.
Yeah. Just the template. No text. Just the template. Yeah. And like how that has become so ingrained in our mind as like this is what this means. But it kind of seems like at least in their culture, it's like much more, I don't know, it's different somehow. Like it is like related to like emotion instead of like memes just mostly being about irony poison and things like that. Like there's much more into the like when the walls fall down than it is just simply here's a funny image that we can kind of pass back and forth that we have a shared lexicon on. But yeah.
Yeah, but it's not the only method of communicating all ideas that exist. And like, what does that do to your thought patterns?
Yeah.
So the example they give in the show, Darmok and Jalad on the ocean, Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra are the ones coming from the aliens. And then to give us a touchstone, they use Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
So Juliet on her balcony.
Far better than Gilgamesh.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Real deep cut there, Picard.
Yeah.
Let's go with the oldest story.
Yeah.
When the guy asks for one. So yeah, Juliet on her balcony or Caesar crossing the Rubicon.
Yep.
Would be another one that I is basically how we use that.
Yeah.
We use that as
crossing the Rubicon as a
meme, essentially. Yep. Yeah, I just really like this episode.
No, it's really good. it's really good. It's like really well done, and I feel like it does the thing where you know immediately because you're watching a episode of TV that there is something up here and that there is a twist and that there's something coming about how this works. Yeah. But it does a really good job of not tipping its hand like immediately. I do think that by the end, Picard understands it to almost none, but enough to make it seem like he understands the concept. Yeah. And I guess that's enough. And then they like the both ships go their own separate ways and then we never talk again. But
yeah, get used to that.
Okay.
Get used to, boy, I really want to know the next thing that happens in this plot line. Never again.
Never again. We will not see these aliens again.
No, absolutely not.
Cool.
Okay. We will not reference this really at all, I don't think. Yeah, get real fucking used to that. Man. Just swim deep in that feeling.
That makes sense.
But yeah, to your point, they don't tip what's going on early at all.
No.
But it's there from the beginning, too. It's not like a hidden twist by any means.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who's watched this a number of times, like I picked up a few more things this time through that was interesting. And the thing that I think is really neat is they don't explain all of their little phrases either. Mm-hmm. So at the very end of the episode, Picard speaks to the first officer on the alien ship in their dialect, in their language the whole way. And we get some of these references that we saw at the beginning of the episode when the alien captain and first officer were arguing and a couple that were down on the planet, but they weren't explicitly stated what it was. So his eyes uncovered. I can't remember the noun.
I don't remember.
But clearly to mean, this person has gained understanding of this situation.
Yep.
And they let you as the audience member also come to that conclusion and feel like you are now in on this process.
Yes.
You have learned part of this language yourself while watching it. And they don't necessarily hold your hand straight through that start to finish, which I think is clever.
Yeah, it was nice that throughout the entire episode, they never like Picard kind of gets to the point where he's explaining his own process of what this language means and like what the other captain is saying, but he never explicitly says it. Like beyond saying like, oh, they speak in metaphor, he doesn't like ever come out and say like, ah, yes, this means failure, but in this story, walls fall down means fail. Like he never is like tiptoeing through it that way, which is, I don't know, like that's very much a my audience is smart enough to put this together thing that does not happen these days.
We don't trust the audience anymore.
No.
Often. Yeah, we get some of Picard like working out his thought process aloud as he's trying to figure out these metaphors. And Pat Stew, man, it's really hard to like look like you're puzzling a thing together that you have memorized.
Yeah.
I think he does it really convincingly in a couple of different ways, in just like these real tight crop shot on his face. Like there's not a lot
he
has to go off of. It's all shoulders up. And I think he sells it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like very, it's like space opera melodramatic, but is like good. Like it is good. Like this is science fiction, like soap opera kind of.
Yeah.
And like he does it like he really, I don't know. I don't know what I expected, like acting wise from this show, but I know that there's just like, there's, you mentioned this during the when we were watching it, that there's the actors and then there are the extras, and I just kind of expected the median to be this is perfectly fine for television.
Yeah,
but it's like pretty good.
It's
like,
pretty good. I mean Pat Stew being there,
yeah, that helps,
pulls up that average real far.
Turns out you put a Shakespearean actor in there and you can do pretty all right.
Yeah, but no, I mean the core cast pretty much across the board does an excellent job. People give Will Wheaton shit pretty often, but like, one, he was a kid,
yeah,
and two, he's playing an annoying kid, so like, yeah, you should be kind of annoyed by his presence. The show is clearly annoyed by his presence,
yeah.
And they did not give him much, if anything, to work with a lot of the time, so I think he does a perfectly
salient job as well. There is one extra in one episode that we will watch that lives rent-free in my head.
Really?
Forever. Okay. Like, this is one of the worst performances I've ever seen. Like, you and I have done community theater.
Yep.
A lot of it. With varying degrees of talent. This would be on the real low end of that.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a walk on, like maybe didn't know they were supposed to be there.
I have no idea. We'll get there. It's an episode I really enjoy. So we'll get there sooner rather than later. And I will be pointing it out.
Good.
We did see Ashley Judd.
Yes, we saw Ashley Judd.
This is her first credited anything. As far as I could tell on IMDb, this and then one more Next Gen episode, then she goes on to be a real actor.
That's just so wild. Like, I know that Law and Order has this reputation for being a halfway house for actors about to hit it big or people you have seen literally everywhere else, and then they just show up here. But I never think of Next Gen as that.
You will never not be able to do that if we watch enough of this.
Yeah, that's really wild.
A lot of people move through Next Gen.
I guess it's a lot of episodes, right? Like, yeah. You just have to.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe I'll put together a list of, like, that guys.
Yeah.
That we can pick from when the mood strikes.
I mean, Cole Meany was in this, so that's a classic that guy.
Yep. Yeah, quintessential that guy, Cole Meany. He's Transporter Chief O'Brien. Mm-hmm. I think he started as an extra. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he was just an extra or if he was
just like a small bit part that got bumped up.
He definitely had a small bit part which got bumped up.
Yeah.
Like he was just in the transporter room a couple of times, and then eventually he became Transporter Chief O'Brien.
Huh.
And was in a number of episodes, and then when Next Gen ended, he moved to Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he's got like a three-quarter sleeve wrenching stuff kind of vibe in that one.
I feel like I recognize him as being in the DS9 uniform, which is like mostly gray, right?
Gray underneath. He's still got the yellow in that one, but way more of a deep blue gray that pops out under the sleeves at the neckline.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And depending on what's going on in DS9, it could be something different than that too.
Like sure.
That's kind of its own ball of wax to some degree. But yeah, I'm trying to think what other.
So why did you pick this one? Like if you like sit down and say you've never seen an episode of Next Gen, we could have started from the beginning.
We could have. We talked,
but we did not
from the beginning. I mean the beginning is we'll be charitable and say inconsistent.
Okay.
So that was you and I have threatened doing this show for a long time.
Yeah.
And that went through a number of iterations. And most of them started from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want
to. That's fair.
I didn't want to do that. The first season's got some real speed bumps. And then we were going to have to decide, like, do we skip episodes? It feels like I'm lying if I don't show you any of the trash.
Yeah.
So that didn't feel great either. I don't know. I wanted something a little more erudite than what we typically get with television, which I think this checks there's a little bit of action. There's a lot of character moments. Like, I think this is just kind of like good peak Next Gen.
Okay.
It is doing the thing that people think of Next Gen as doing, and it's doing that thing well in this episode.
Okay.
And it's a bottle episode.
Yeah.
Like, you knew nothing.
No.
Close to nothing going in.
Yeah.
And that didn't slow you down too much.
No. And I feel like most of the things that you filled me in on were not super important for me to know during this anyways.
Definitely not. I wouldn't like start anyone on this episode because it is great. It is also dumb. It's dumb as hell.
Yeah.
This whole show's dumb as hell.
Yeah.
And you need to just be cool with that or you're going to have a bad time. And I trusted you to be cool with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I wasn't sure, like, if you were on the fence about watching this, I would not have started with this one. I would have picked something a little more pedestrian, probably.
Okay.
something that had less rubber prosthesis in it, and a more grounded premise, or a more tangible premise than this.
I think this was like a perfectly good one to start with. Like, yeah. I don't think that, like, it was very good television. It was, I don't know. The thing I think about a lot recently is that I feel incredibly allergic to sitting down and watching a movie. Like, there's something about the massive time commitment of like a 2-hour, like, scripted movie film that feels very difficult for me to step into, because I will always be wondering if this is how I should be spending my time.
There's so many other screens you could be looking at.
Exactly. And there's so many other like amateur people who could be talking at me through a video screen that I would much rather listen to than whatever this is.
Yep.
So like being just a 45 minute episode of television is like kind of perfect. Like I still feel generally that 45 minutes of television is kind of the perfect amount of like scripted acting to like really nail something. Like 22 minutes of Gundam.
Yeah.
22 minutes of Gundam is good sometimes, but you feel like you are very much skipping over the good bits, or like the like crunchier bits that this show revels in. Like it just lets you sit there and have these people have a conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, like, they just sat around a campfire.
Over
half this episode was just close-ups on 2 to 4 people in a room talking
in like 3 different rooms.
Yeah,
and it was like there's the bridge, there's the weird conference room that looks out over the stars, and then there's the campfire. Yeah, the ready room. Yep. Okay. Yeah, it was just talking.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yep,
love that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we're gonna watch Red October soon too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's been so long since I've seen Red October.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh man,
it's been like over a decade, I think, since I've like sat down and watched that movie.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. That's at least an annual watch for me, if not more.
No, I haven't watched it in ages. Yeah, and that was the thing when we were talking about this through the episode. I mentioned that like this episode, and I imagine most of Next Gen is just like extreme Red October energy, where like everything's going great, there's a plan, and then all of a sudden you have to turn all the lights down to red and someone is smoking a cigarette off screen and it's all going bad and we have to have a talk about it.
Yep. Yeah, that's most of the show.
Yeah, that's good. Perfect.
Yeah, that's basically all of it. The one thing I didn't remember going into this, because I didn't rewatch it before we did this, was how unhinged Riker was this episode.
Yeah, he was real trigger happy, huh?
Yeah, he was on one.
Yeah, he was like ready to pull that trigger. Yeah.
He didn't.
But I mean, he kind of did.
He sent the ship down.
Yeah.
That was kind of the only overt act. Oh, I
mean when the captain died, they're just like, oh, well, they know that he's dead now, so let's go.
Yeah. That's for, well, I mean, the alien was moving back towards Picard then, and then it was a 1v1 with the monster.
That's true.
They were worried about that. Because that was not going to go great for Picard.
No, it wasn't. I was wondering if this was going to be a thing where he's going to knife fight this monster, like now armed with the power of knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the language now, so I have to kill this monster to get back.
Dual wielding the ceremonial knives.
Yeah.
No, that's not, that's original series vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kirk would have stabbed the shit out of that.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He would have let it kill the other captain and then stab it. And
Kirk probably would have killed the captain first when he first handed him the knife. Like, oh, we're doing a knife fight?
Sure, let's go.
I've been practicing these. I love knife fighting other captains.
Yeah, he probably does.
Yeah. And then he would have killed the monster.
Yeah.
Glassed the planet from orbit and moved on. But no, different resolution here. Yeah, do we do another one of these?
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is that, okay, we've watched this one.
Yeah.
Do you have a good thematic next one that you would want to do?
I mean, there's other ones around communication we could look at. We could grab just another good episode. We could like dig into the middle tier if you want to just like mm-hmm.
see where see it goes.
What, yeah, like just what a forgettable version of one of these are. Or we could jump into something weird. There's a bunch of ones that deal with different system of ethics, weird like time travel stuff happens occasionally, mm-hmm. so we could get into some of that weirdness. John Delancey,
John
as Q, is just a thing that happens. That's a thing I have to experience at a point.
I did forget that happened in this show.
Oh yeah, it happens. So yeah, I guess we could do like a good Star Trek episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a thing by itself, a mediocre yep. Star Trek episode, or something that we expect just to a talk
weird
about.
One.
Yeah, something we could choose thematically.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I can
find one of any of
those. Yeah.
I don't have them into those tiers. Maybe I do that. Maybe we settle on tiers here.
Yeah.
We can like bucket each one and we can
pick and choose from
a
there.
Theme and roll a die or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we just throw in some random other things in there. Like, is there a Babylon 5 episode that you wanna watch?
There absolutely are.
I'll
That's
make you
a worse show, but yeah.
Yeah.
There are definitely interesting things to talk about there.
Yeah, I'll make you watch some of the Battlestar show.
Yeah. That one's just like good though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly. I have a very soft spot for how that show ends because I think it's good and interesting. The problem with watching something like Battlestar, like modern prestige television, is that you don't get bottle episodes really. Like there are some of them, but for the most part, it's all like moving the plot forward and yeah. you need to know why Starbuck is on this planet and, you know, this other person is not. So
yeah.
there's some of that. I think the first actual episode of that show, not the miniseries, is like still one of the best. It's a good concept and I feel like they do it really well. And then there's just a couple of other ones that, you know, if you listener know what the Adama maneuver is, that would be one that I would want to show you because it's the most like arms up in the air yelling fuck yeah watching an episode of television I've ever had.
Okay. We could
it was pretty good.
We could do there's a Picard maneuver.
We
could do the Captain maneuvers.
Yeah. We could do that. That would be good. that would actually be real good. And then actually, I mean, now that I think about it, like I feel like we've talked about this concept back and forth in different ways, but there's also because you have no experience watching Doctor Who after like the first new season.
Functionally, no.
Okay.
I would say I know a fair bit.
Sure.
I've watched H-Bomb be mad about it.
Okay.
I guess.
So cool. Yeah. Like so you've seen videos about Stephen Moffat mostly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I've watched all of Coupling. Does that count?
I mean, kind of.
Okay.
No, there's like, I think Doctor Who does a really good job of doing bottle episodes mm-hmm. somewhat. And some of my favorite episodes of that show have nothing to do with the plot of the overall show, and it's just like this is a really fucking cool concept, and kind of the same thing as Star Trek where it's like hey this is a really cool concept we'll never talk
again.
About this again. And I think that's neat.
Yep.
So like maybe we turn this into something like that where there's like fun
just bottle episodes.
Yeah, like bottle episode
yeah.
thematic stuff that we can talk mm-hmm. about because I think that this was really fun to do. It was nice to like bump into something that I've heard so much about. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it had just turned into this thing where I do not have 7 seasons of television in me to like sit down and do it. Like my brain is not.
It's a big
that
ask.
Way.
And it's like kind of hard to come by if you're not subscribed to whoever has it right now. I assume it's still Paramount since they own it.
Yeah.
Since it's not on Netflix anymore. It's so like, that's kind of annoying. And yeah, it's dumb as hell. So like, I feel like you kind of, it helps to have a bit of a guiding hand.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you would have started this from, I don't know if you would have made it through the first season. No, absolutely not. You would not have made it through the first season.
No, probably not.
Without someone like making you do it. Because that first season,
hasn't grown the beard yet.
Yeah, I know what that means now. Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, I struggle with watching through seasons of television anyways, like even shows that I really like that have a lot going for it and just like will not go back to. So, yeah, I think that this is kind of the best way for me to do this. And also you pitched this originally mm-hmm. as the reason that we were like part of the reason that we're doing this and the reason that we made it okay for us to do it this way is that like this is how you watch this show. Like this how you originally saw it.
Yeah,
was just like bouncing around.
Yeah, I was sitting on the ground as like a 7-year-old hanging out with my dad watching random reruns on TNT.
Yeah, like the only thing missing from this view and experience was ads for Floam and like whatever else was going on.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So I think the next episode we should watch is thematically somewhat related.
Okay.
It is one of my favorite episodes. It's not most people's favorite episode.
Okay.
But it is one of my favorite episodes. It is a Riker Klingon episode.
Interesting.
Both of those feature prominently.
Okay.
Because I feel like Riker had a bad showing.
he really did.
And Riker's one of the better characters in this series. And seeing this one just by itself with nothing to moor it to was wild.
Yeah. He was like ready to go the entire time. And that is not what I expect of a Starfleet officer.
I will say, like, you see unhinged Riker, like, 6 times,
mm-hmm.
maybe 7 times in the series.
Okay.
And it's always like kind of fun and impactful because it almost never happens.
Never happens.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So like, not only do you lose the like positive association of seeing that happen, you just get like, oh, this dude's kind of nuts. Huh?
Yeah.
Feels like this guy should be a little more chill if he's in charge of shit.
Yeah. He kind of wishes that he was in on the knife fight.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a lot of knife fighting energy.
Yeah.
This episode for a guy sitting in a boardroom.
Yes.
So yeah, we will do what is that called? Hold on.
I'm holding on.
I'll find it. It's got the word honor in it. It's in season Code of Honor.
Hmm.
Let's just look up TNG season 2. I'm mostly positive it's in season 2, like towards the beginning.
Is that when the beard happens?
Beard is season 3.
Okay.
A matter of honor.
Ooh,
maybe we'll just... Man. See, this is fucking show, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, season 2. There is some shit showing up on this screen here. I was like, maybe we'll just watch like 10 of these in a row.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So, A Matter of Honor is... immediately preceding The Measure of a Man, which
Measure of a Man
season two episode nine.
Interesting. Okay. I thought that was going to be so much later because that's like typically lauded as like top three all time.
That's one of the better, I think that might just be one of the better episodes of television.
Okay.
It's definitely one of the better episodes of Star Trek.
Season 2.
But yeah, also, the beginning of season 2, episode 3 is Elementary, Dear Data. That's when that's
the Sherlock one, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, oh. Okay. And then right after that is The Outrageous Okana, who you
don't know
anything about that. That episode is just fun.
Okay.
That one's just a popcorn app. It's great. They have a guy who is a very roguish character.
Okay.
Just sleeping his way through the ship.
Cool.
And the guy who's playing the character originally tried out for Riker, who is a bit of a like sexed up kind of similar roguish energy to Riker.
Yeah.
So this guy who got turned down from Riker
just gets
coming on to play like a Riker foil.
Yeah, that's good.
And that dude is just chewing the scenery the whole time. Like he is there to prove a point, is what it feels like.
Okay.
Like that one's real good.
Yeah.
But the season opener, season 2, is real bad.
Oh.
is real nightmarish. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
We might watch it at some point. That's one of the ones that is like I don't want you to watch it, but I'd feel bad if you didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
I feel like I lied to you about this fucking show.
Oh, loud as a whisper? That would, yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, we're going to dip into season two.
Okay.
I think we're just going to bottle our way around.
That's fine.
I feel like hitting Measure of a Man right away seems a little too much.
It does seem like cheating.
Grade up to grade up here.
Yeah.
So I think we drop to A Matter of Honor, which is episode 8. Oh, that's got the Benzite in it. We talked about this. This is the one that also deals with command hierarchies.
Yep.
And like different conceptions of command hierarchies and how do you integrate those when they're unaligned. So yeah, it's okay. Both thematic.
Yeah, it fits. And we talked about it.
One of my favorite episodes. We talked about it while we were watching this one.
All right.
It's a Riker episode. It's also a Klingon episode in a good way. So
nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do that one.
We're doing that one next, whenever that is.
It won't be the next episode. No. But
probably not. It might be. Probably not.
That's what we said with stackable clues.
Yeah. That's why I caveated that.
Yeah. You never know.
No, I think that was a good one. It's also, I think it's really difficult to watch like an episode of TV or even like a movie and like internalize the themes of that to make you think in a different way. And I think that this is very much one of those things, very much one of those episodes of TV where I may not like think about the Darmok, like walls fall down or like in winter thing all that often, but the idea of a culture speaking in metaphor will like definitely be one of those things where I think about Darmok when we talk about crossing the Rubicon or when we talk about like, you know, going down the Nile or like Juliet in the balcony, like these like cultural touchstones that have somehow managed to linger for 2000 years, like are definitely things that will remind me of this episode now. And that is just like, that is a cultural thing that we have, you know, just internalized as being humans who are, you know, who have written language and are able to like reflect on that in a way. But it's cool that this was like, that is a concept for a sci-fi episode, because that is not what I would have expected.
It forces you to think about something that is so omnipresent that you can no longer see it.
Yeah.
Which is like the way the structure of your language affects the way you communicate with other people, the way your own thoughts work, any of that. It's not something we see ever, because it's so pervasive. It's kind of baked into the concept.
Yeah.
And it puts it right in your face in a way that you have to draw some parallels to the way your own life works.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it's interesting because at least the people on that ship, right? Like they all had the shared lexicon of, you know, these are the references I am making and this is how we're going to like do that. And I guess it would be different if our entire language was built from that. But you think about the things in modern media that break through, and then knowing that you are on the outside. And like, it is like also another interesting cultural thing where like, I generally know what the Red Wedding is. And when people refer to the Red Wedding, what they are trying to say and what they mean by that.
Yep.
But I never experienced that part of culture. And like that, it's also like an othering aspect. And it makes you wonder like, oh, well, what's the rest of this planet like? Like, you know, Starfleet goes through these, like they have to train up to be part of Starfleet. They have to train for their role. They have to, you know, go through all of this. Is part of that, we all have the same vocabulary. Like we all have to like now learn.
Oh yeah.
You know, like is Darmok, is that something that is part of this culture enough to where it's like us referring to Achilles, or is it, you know, cause like even us referring to Achilles is not the same, you know, like there's so much of Chinese history and storytelling that, you know, I generally know what the Three Kingdoms is, but not enough to like make cultural references to it. Right. And like, is that formalized in their education? Is this the what? I don't know how this is happening.
I hate Power DVD.
I hate
Blu-rays.
We never really talked about this too much, but we fucked around with the Cisco robot thing, and it failed constantly because of an HDCP handshake issue, and somehow, after all this time, it has come back on a thing.
The episode's over.
That was fine before.
We've talked about other ways we're going to do this from the technical side that will solve this problem.
That's fine.
What I was going to say
is that we kind of skipped over it, but they mentioned it right at the beginning that the whole reason the Enterprise is there is because there is like a signal coming from this planet that's just doing math at them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how this culture kind of lured isn't quite the right connotation.
Yeah.
But got them
like
to
said,
that
hey,
planet.
We're here. Yeah.
Which is interesting. It hints at some universality of math there. But
yeah.
So that they knew that every time they've interacted with Starfleet, it's been question marks on their end too.
Yes.
So they didn't come and say words out in a message.
Yeah.
They very specifically didn't. They just did math.
Yeah. They just sent math signals. Yeah. I didn't catch that. That's really interesting. Because I mean, that's another thing here is that like there is history. Like they have tried doing this before and they have somehow failed. And I imagine it went very similar to this, or if not this, hopefully not as bad as Riker going crazy. Yeah. But yeah, and then they just kind of bail and try to find new ways. I wonder if it was math last time or if it was, you know, another way of doing it.
And I would assume part of the reason we get this reasonably desperate move out of the alien captain to beam down to the planet there with Picard for monster battles is because all those other ones failed.
Yeah.
Like they've also run out of ideas.
Yeah.
So now we're doing monster battles.
Yeah. Yeah. Like trying to play act a story from their culture to like try to get you to get the message, which is interesting.
It's a cool show.
Yeah, it was real good.
Yeah, we'll do more of it.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, thanks for listening. I've been Phil and he's been Logan. Our music is by Nicholas Cahill. Head over to 70%complete.com for articles, blogs, and reviews. And you can also watch our video essays and Let's Plays on YouTube. Or, you know, tune in mostly daily for my short chat podcast, Point to Point. There's also a link to join our Discord down there. Come hang out and chat RuneScape, tech, or, you know, really anything else with all the great people there. All the links are in the show notes. And we'll be back soon with another episode of Esoteric Nonsense. See you then.
Shut the fuck up, Cyberlink Power DVD.